Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh, it happened. The evil has been defeated. Let it never be said that the power of prayer and televoting doesn't work. Derek, roll the hallelujah.
And welcome to another sonorific episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the home of Walton Goggins. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. You know what? We are sonorific here in Minnesota, but I don't know. Where's Walton Goggins from? That man could be from anywhere.
Ooh.
No.
Like Georgia or something, isn't he?
No clue.
No, he does seem like kind of a southern boy, doesn't he?
A boy.
He plays one.
What if we could get Walton Goggins for one of our preview shows?
That'd be cool. Also, looks like he was born in Alabama.
Okay.
Raised in a suburban Atlanta.
Hey. I see. Look at that. We can peg some of our own. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to know that there's some news out of Georgia, I guess.
Yeah. There we go. Speaking of Walton Goggins, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Hey, Walton Goggins, you can find us on all of the standard social media outlets. Generally speaking, our handle is 12pointsUSA, or you could just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise over on our Redbubble page. Support us either via a one-off contribution on our Ko-fi account, that's ko-fi, or with a sustaining monthly donation on our Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. It's daylight savings time here. I don't understand why I'm so damn tired.
You lost an hour of sleep. You gain one in the fall.
Yeah.
But it's sunny right now. Like normally by the time, like especially over the wintertime, by the time that we record these episodes, it's dark. It is dusky, but it is gloriously bright for 6 p.m. at this moment. Like I should feel energized, but I am just.
It was the Eurovision weekend.
It zaps all of us. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All these Super Saturdays, man, they take a toll on you.
There's too many Super Saturdays in a row.
I didn't even watch them this time around. I was out at a baby shower out.
You didn't miss much.
Well,
I don't know. Just kidding.
I feel like there were a couple of interesting things this time.
You mean as far as national finals go, or just like the actual releases?
Bit of both.
All right. So why don't we just start out with? Where do we want to start at? Rip the Band-Aid off and talk about the UK.
Yeah. Well. We have to deal with some. We got a lot of big news. We got a lot of big releases, and I suppose the UK is where we ought to start. I mean,
a lot of band-aids to rip off here. Yeah, UK has released a song, perhaps appropriately titled "What the Hell Just Happened," by the group Remember Monday.
It's about I what remember you feel Monday like after was, about 1 minute of this song.
That was yesterday. was Monday.
So we're trying our hands with another girl group from the UK.
We haven't had a girl group since Precious, maybe about quite a long time ago. We haven't had a girl group in a long ass time.
You see, but we do Junior Eurovision as well on this podcast.
That is true.
They are fans, aren't they?
That is true. Stand Unique, we love you. So I guess Stand Unique.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Oh, they were fine.
Yeah. Anyway, yep. The girl group trio, Remember Monday, What the Hell Just Happened. There have been rumors slash leaks about the identity of the act for a couple of weeks now, but we finally have confirmation, finally have a song, a music video, the whole mishigas, and it is a lot.
they didn't scrimp on production at all. You can't say that the UK didn't put a lot of money behind this and that they weren't giving it a lot of their support. Mm-hmm. As always with England, you have to question talent.
Vocal work is pretty good.
This is one of those moments where, you know, you guys made fun of IQ from like back in 2018 for having two songs in one. This is like six. So have fun. if you don't like the song that you are currently listening to now, just wait 6 seconds and I promise it'll be different.
It's like Minnesota weather.
Mm-hmm. It's what a wacky little song here.
I think it's fun.
a valid question, as always. Not to get into too deep of analysis here, because I already have. Is the UK doing anything different this year in terms of making it to the left side of the table? No.
I think you're being harsher on this than you need to be. I think the fact that they are relatively established in terms of theatrical background. Yeah.
Oh.
I feel like the three of them perform together and they have for quite a few years. I feel like they should be able to get the vocals on point. I think a lot's going to have to come down to how they do on the live show. If those harmonies are off, but I want to have hope. I want to have hope.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, they've got some training. They were on The Voice, one of those talent shows.
Sure.
They've been together for a while. I imagine their actual performance is going to be fine. I think this is the kind of song, though, that, again, we're going to get into this more later, but I just don't see the motivation to vote.
I mean,
for
if you had a great singer like Mae Muller come with something like I Wrote a Song, like in 2023, and that winds up being just poop with everyone, I don't have high hopes for this one.
I think it's got real disaster potential, but I think that it has more than that too.
God, like, I love the UK. I don't know. Potential stamped across the entire country. I love it.
I don't know how in the world you stage this.
Yeah, how? How? Because it keeps changing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work.
Just bring back Ollie Alexander's rotating room. Second year
in a row. I don't know.
I'm imagining this as a sort of immersive, like single shot camera work, like night out kind of stuff, like crazy things happening behind them as they relive the
Malta's Do You Want to Dance?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, maybe something a little bit closer up, but you're like, yeah, I could see something like that.
Because we all know that worked out so well.
Yeah, that worked out. Yeah,
but we loved it.
This is the UK, and Danny's, they spend a lot of money on these things for whatever reason. I think they clearly spend money on the music video production, on the staging, regardless of the song quality. I think when it comes to the time to actually put it together, there's gonna be a ton of stuff on stage. There's gonna be a lot going on. Whether or not that works is another question.
Right.
I am ready to be surprised.
I had asked our friends over on Blue Sky, where we're 12 points USA, by the way. What are some other Eurovision songs whose titles also explain what it's like to listen to them?
Yes. What do we got?
And we got a few good responses.
Don't play that song again.
Yeah, that was the big one, was don't play that song again. Another UK banger. Somebody noted Euphoria. I mean,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Why not? Cry Baby, another UK one from 2003.
Oh, Running Scared.
Running Scared.
Two on the nose.
Yeah. Our good friend Dude Points says Brivity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one. Good one as well. Yeah, some good responses there. I still don't know who the hell Edgar is. All right. So UK, definitely going to win. Let's go on to our next one that is also definitely going to win. That's Adonx from Czechia with Kiss Kiss Goodbye. Danny?
I think we noted this last week. We had the acoustic version. We had the piano-driven version. And I have to say, listening to it, I don't think the acoustic version helped us get a feel for the vibe of this song. There's so much production behind it. There's so many electronic effects that it's like, man, playing this acoustic is like they are two different songs.
Oh, they knew what they were doing, though.
They just gave us enough of a taste, like lyrical and melodic taste. But everything else is just so unexpected, hitting well. This one seems to be placing in a lot of top tens and even top fives of like reviews that I see on YouTube. This one's jumping to the top. But we still don't have France. We still don't have a couple of late stragglers here. But
Georgia!
Yeah. they're really going down to the wire. Haven't heard a thing.
You're going to be sitting there minding your own business, and out of nowhere, it's like, hey, Georgia released their song.
What if?
Yes.
What if Georgia released like 2 months ago and just nobody noticed?
Like they released a YouTube channel that has like 12 followers. It's just mm-hmm. like someone. It's just someone's account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a genuine question, but I'm going to wait until we get to San Marino to ask it.
Okay.
Well, lucky you were talking about San Marino next. So yeah, why don't you just ask the question? There's not a lot else to talk about with Adonis here. He's got the singing chops that we've been seeing in this lead up to the contest. We've mm-hmm. finally got the song here. It's got some traction. Czechia possibly. I'm just going to cross my fingers because it seems like every country I root for, Malta, Czechia, absolutely thrown out in the trash every single time and they don't deserve it. It's like Latvia for you guys is Czechia for me, but they I don't know. We can cross our fingers because it really seems deserving this year. But God, didn't we say that last year about Aiko? So
we did.
Let's move to San Marino.
It should be noted though. Czechia is in an absolutely insane semifinal.
No, it's he always
there's always one. There's
like,
always
these
one.
These scrappy like countries that you never know if they're going to send a dud or if they're going to send something really shiny. And it's like, oh, sometimes they just get the bad luck at the semifinal. Like Aiko.
Might actually help it. That's a serious one, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We have a lot of deeply unserious songs this year. And this mm-hmm. is one that is at least taking itself seriously.
Yeah, I feel like Bridges from Estonia a couple years ago really benefited from being unique, despite the fact that it's not really
the unexpected one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, it was unique by contrast, if nothing else. But it's in the same semi as Milkshake Man and Like a Party and Ich Komme and
Malta.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
A couple of those might actually qualify.
Yeah. So no, I think Adonis is going to be just fine, and I think he'll do pretty well. This is a good effort, really strong effort.
This is one of our two extremely pretty boys who have a song released in this episode. So we'll get to Cyprus later, but that's absolutely not a surprise. I think Cyprus literally just requires headshots from every artist that they send to them. Cannot get Do you look pretty is the first question they ask every single time. Let's move to San Marino though first, so that you can get whatever this is off of your chest, Derek. This is I absolutely love when a song it's San Marino, so it's different because they're surrounded by Italy, but I always love when a country sends a song about a different country. Always a huge fan. San Marino, Gabri Ponte, Tutta l'Italia. Sam, how close was anyone else to this one?
I mean, we don't know. Because this is a jury only vote. We had a list of songs and a ranking, but Tutta l'Italia ended up taking the win. Gabri Ponte, best known to most folks as one of the guys behind Eiffel 65. Also very well known this song as the omnipresent theme song. To San Marino now, but San Remo earlier this year. And it also should be noted, Gabri Ponte was also one of the songwriters behind Pia and Lumix's Halo. Mm-hmm. So he is technically a returning songwriter, even mm-hmm. though he's not actually singing this.
He's doing all the work, though.
Yeah. Like, he's a DJ Astronaut or whoever that was.
He's like full on the star of the show. There are no main vocals. It's all backing vocals. To him going way harder than this song I think deserves. Okay, so here's my question.
I'm
sorry if I'm just not remembering. I was like trying to think about it this week after that song came out. Has there been another? We're used to getting songs that this is the song for this country and nobody's ever heard it before, and it's being released as part of the Eurovision kind of release schedule. Have there been songs that have come out post the September date that were like on the radio, on an album or whatever, and someone was like, hey, you should just go to Eurovision with this.
I feel like that's happened in Poland. I feel like Polishe may have been an example of that. I feel like Gaia from Justyna this year was on her album that was already had some measure of commercial success that was on her most recent album. So I feel like there were other songs that had also had some measure of radio play, which kind of pushed them into that next level. To me, it feels slightly icky just because I, you know.
Yeah. But Derek, is that the actual order in which things happened here? Like, did he sort of like get commissioned to do this little San Remo sort of tie-in / theme song? And then they just went, hey, why don't you just take this to San Marino? Is that how it happened?
I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it was getting airtime in Italy before the San Marinese final. So people were listening to it and were familiar with it.
Well, before the final, but it's like, did he write this sort of like, I guess we'll never know.
Because the only one I could think of was Cherché by Amir back in 2016, which was going to be on his album. I don't know if it had been released yet. I can't remember that far back, but someone heard it and said, we can edit this down to 3 minutes and make it a Eurovision song if you want.
Went, that sounds fantastic. Nobody's career has ever suffered because of Eurovision.
He's still a big name in France. Like, this didn't hurt his career at all.
No, yes, but it's just like when someone's like, hey, you got a great hit here. How about we snip 40 seconds off of it and turn it into a Eurovision song? I'm not sure.
Engelbert Humperdinck,
I'm not sure many people would be like, oh, yes, please, please.
I mean,
it was just a random thought. I was kind of curious. Like, it would not surprise me if a country was looking for a song. It came out in, like, let's say early October. It was like kind of a local hit, and someone was like, it's just like, we could trim a few seconds off of this and make it stage ready. I'm just kind of shocked at how often no one's ever heard the song really until it's released for Eurovision specifically. And then we get all these songs that are like, this is the official entry and no one's ever heard it before.
Yeah.
Say like, yeah, like, we'll say Georgia because we don't know what's going on there. A song comes out in November, just immediately skyrockets to number one on the Georgian charts, has some crossover appeal, maybe even here in the U.S. somehow. Yeah, that happens sometimes. And, you'd think that a country like Georgia, or another country that just always goes internal, couldn't just be like, well, let's just take that.
Take that?
It doesn't have to. Yeah, let's get the group Take That.
They're going to send Take That?
Yeah.
Look, Anora, you've heard it here first. Top of the world right now.
It is odd that it seems like sometimes things just, Eurovision things just can't exist outside of that ecosystem.
Look, that's the game they're playing.
There's really no reason for that, especially if the idea is to, you know, grow Eurovision or what have you.
I don't know. I've heard it likened to like the old amateur rules for the Olympics, where it's just like, well, that's stupid. They should just eliminate that. But I think it is in some ways unfair, because if you completely open that up, then it's like, well, I can release a song and I can see if it hits number one, and then I can just send that because it's been pre-vetted. And then that gives a lot of advantage to those people who have the backing of a studio, the backing of a machine, the backing of a production team, that people with a lot of money then just start dominating the contest again. And I think that's contrary to the spirit of Eurovision.
That's fair, yes. Yeah. But we've had big name artists come by. I mean, even had Alexander last year, and I'm kind of surprised he could have released his song much earlier. And just as his song, and then been like, oh, surprise, by the way, the song you've been listening to for the last 3 months, that's our Eurovision song. Anyway, we don't have to get up into this whole thing. I was just kind of...
No, we don't.
No, it's a
good discussion. One more thing to touch on, just because this is San Marino, and it's a handy little metric to use. So this is yet another sort of throwback to the 90s rave scene style dance song. Is it just me, or are we just stuffed with this kind of song this year?
It's just you.
We have a lot of sort of these sort of mindless, it's 1998 all over again kind of thumpy house tracks.
Yeah.
Anyone who's standing on stage with an acoustic guitar is going to look awfully unique this year.
Well, I guess that's going to look pretty good for our friends in Portugal when we start talking about them.
It's going to look good for Latvia. It's going to look good for
Lithuania.
For Mama Gama.
And, like,
oh, wait, no, not Latvia. I meant Lithuania, because they're our rock band. Latvia. Yeah. Latvia.
Well, I think Latvia is going to stand out pretty well, too.
They sure are, just because vocal group.
They're our dear god thing of the year.
They are our praise dear gods, pagan nature gods,
All right, what do we got next?
We're moving to Austria, which is funky. Which is a funky thing to talk about.
This one shot up in the ranks, didn't it?
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. It skyrocketed to near the top for a lot of people.
Yep, that would be Wasted Love by JJ, which we knew was coming. We knew the name, we knew the artist, we knew the title, all that stuff. But I think we had heard about JJ's background in terms of like countertenor, classically trained, classically... I don't know about you guys, but I don't know if I was expecting that voice.
No.
No.
And I'm not saying that... For Yaya?
Ding dong?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I have here.
It's so
just to be clear, this is extremely operatic and extremely virtuosic. How much credence can we lend to the bookmakers here, putting it at number one, when that's a rather unique, number two. How much credence can we lend that when... We have just had a song with that unique vibe win Eurovision last year.
That might be why.
I understand it's. I understand that's sort of like it gave an excuse, gave support to the idea of this genre being viable at the contest. But like, it seems copycatish just because it's so unique.
Yeah,
which is a weird thing to say about something unique.
Yes. not to say that we haven't had opera infused before. You know, we had La Forza that did quite well for Estonia a couple years back.
It does kind of give that vibe, though, that like they saw Nemo in Austria was like, we have one of those.
But it's like,
get him on the phone.
You know, it's a shame that it has to come from Austria that has such a tradition of opera where it actually like feels right. It feels right that we say it's, you know, it's the country of Mozart and we're sending him there. Like, it feels like every criticism I have against sending this can be easily defended, and defend away you shall, because I'm not on Twitter.
Okay, I would say the only thing holding this back from winning is likely the fact that it's basically Switzerland again.
Yeah.
How much does that matter is kind of the question with this one, I think, because holy cow,
the talent can't be denied.
Absolutely.
That's definitely certain.
I could see one of those things where the jury wants to get on stage.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Obviously, it's only been out for a few days, so we haven't, as far as I know, we haven't seen it performed live. But I don't think we're too concerned about the vocals or anything like that.
No,
this is what this fella does for a living.
But the buzz, the hype behind this cannot be. It almost can't be like overestimated.
Well, and I think also a lot of people have just been waiting for something.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of time they're waiting for a song to get excited about. And obviously they were getting excited about Sweden, and we'll get to that. But we didn't know that that's what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if Sweden had gone the other way, there would still be excitement, but it would be a very different sort of excitement.
Yeah,
I guess a familiar sort of excitement.
An perhaps uncanny deja vu.
Familiar.
Yeah.
There's sky's the limit on this one. My goodness.
Can't wait to see how they stage it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, I was just going to say, Austria tends to do a pretty good job with their staging.
Mm-hmm. So, not the well when unless we're trapping Pia inside of a halo.
I want to say they hired the person that Bambi Thug used.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Promising.
Is a thing that I saw somewhere. So.
I'm glad they
there's
some
that
new
as well.
People to do the stage directions, because I'm getting kind of sick of seeing the same names over and over again every year.
Mm-hmm.
And also just knowing that on the songwriting crew for this one is Teodor Spiricho, so Teja of Teja and Selena.
Yay.
So we definitely know that, you know, there are familiar hands you know, in the delegation when it comes to the writing process and the whole creation of the song. So I'm sure that she'll have opinions as well.
Oh, that means she's going to be there.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so, too. All right. Let's see. What else we got? We've seen that Portugal has Portugaled again.
No surprise.
Whatever could you mean?
Yeah. I love it when Portugals.
This is less, I would say, this is less overtly so, Dade. But, I don't know. The spice is still in the mix. The spice is still there.
You know? I mean, considering like what saudade means, it's that feeling of longing and wistfulness. And the song literally means displaced. It's about somebody who longs to return to home.
It's interesting to hear that perspective. Because it's more often than not, I'm home, somebody's out at sea, and I miss them.
Right.
And now it's, I'm out at sea, and I miss home.
Or actually, in this case, it's, I'm on land, and I miss my island home. These guys, the band Napa that won Festival Canção, they're from Madeira, which is on my bucket list of places I would love to travel someday, because the wine alone is reason enough. Because
you want to see the Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You want to see the messed up Cristiano sculpture?
Oh, he's
God, that's what that is?
It's like a flounder.
Yeah. The airport's named for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a is that big what they deal miss? There.
You think the song is about the statue?
I want to go home, see my flounder man. Both of the eyes on the same.
So when I first started watching this, I got the first thing that I thought of was actually what was the group that did Love Is On My Side a couple of years ago?
The Black Mamba.
Yeah, the Black Mamba.
It kind of reminded me of that just because it's a low-key song. Is Portugal ever going to send a dance banger? I don't think so. Would love to see it when it happens, but it's just
they
not going to happen.
They did in 2014, and it almost qualified.
Oh, good. Well, like Telemovish was... No, that was just weird.
Oh, remember that.
I do. But it reminded me of the Black Mamba. Also because, like, it's, you know, sort of... There's a sense of that, like... still, like, positivity, like, that sense of love inside of it. And we've got a band on stage, which, you know, I'm always drooling for. Love to see just this five-piece on stage, sort of like a real, actual musical group happening here that has a real sense of authenticity to it that you don't get from a lot of these more, you know, electronic, more of these produced acts. Mm. Like to see it. Really like seeing it.
It just feels very... comfortable and authentic, and I keep going back to Beatlesque.
Sure.
And I now have a wish for this upcoming year. I just want to see
Ringo.
I want to see the guys from Napa and the guys from Zifferblatt together and create music together. I just want to see them jam out. I just want to sit in on a gig. A Zifferblatt Napa, a Nafferblatt. A zippa, as it were. I would love to see that. Nafferblatt?
keep going, keep riffing.
Niffernap?
Niffernap.
No.
Milknarf. Nope. Franklin, backwards.
Were these guys sort of on the scene before this moment? Had they had any traction, or is this sort of one of those, like, newcomer diamond in the rough situations?
They seem to be sort of... relative newcomers. They've been they released,
they certainly
now.
Look young. Yeah,
they've been to, it looks like they formed in 2013 and they released their first album in 2019 and a second one in 2023. It doesn't look like they've had massive hits on the Portuguese charts or anything like that, but you know, the thing that I love about Festival de Canção is the fact that this is a songwriter focused show. The fact that this was an act that RTP reached out to say, hey, we see some promise in you as a songwriter. Do you want to send a song? And then everything comes later. So I always like that. So they're still rather green, but it feels very genuine.
Yeah. They're not quite last pizza slice green.
That's that was the fear I had once I saw the first 3 seconds of the national final clip and went, oh no, all right.
I
know.
I really like what this song is doing. Especially vocally.
Portugal sends something weird, do they ever disappoint? Is this our most reliable country in the contest?
I would say they're probably the most authentic country.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think part of that is because they have this focus on songwriters first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where the quality comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just organic.
Yeah. All right, up next we got Israel. We haven't talked about this much. It is going to be Yuval Raphael with New Day Will Rise. Cut from a similar cloth, perhaps, as the thing last year. If you're new to the show or you didn't listen to our previews last year, this was not a country that we did the full preview of in depth. I feel like the main reason for that is just... we're very silly on this show, and this is kind of an impossible thing to do shtick with, and it's just a very tricky thing to talk about one way or another, and we'll talk about it in terms of like qualifications and things like that and running order and that sort of thing, on the sort of on the more factual side of things, Beyond that, it's difficult, and you know we're just figuring this out the same way everyone else is. Yeah, Israel, cool. Switzerland. Switzerland is
a perfectly neutral country.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is much better. You see what happens? Like, just yeah.
Your own business. Make cuckoo clocks. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. So we have Zoem.
They decided to send Voyager with Zoe M.
Yeah.
If only.
Yeah, if... Oh, man. If so, yeah, Zoeme with Voyage.
Not Voyage, Voyage. Yeah.
Well, this feels like a... This feels like a...
host a rest entry. Year. Yep. Feels like we're taking it easy. It's impossible for the host to win. So why don't we send something that's got a little bit of gravitas and artistry and is...
It's not impossible.
It's not
this year it might be, but like that's fine. That's fine.
It is lovingly sweet and mm-hmm. coffee house and warm and welcoming, and it is very, very cool to see the host nation being represented by somebody from the host city. She was born in Basel.
Oh, for real.
She's born in Basel. Cool. I think she grew up in Fribourg from the age of like 9 or something like that. But yeah, she's multilingual. The song is in French, which is always nice to see as well. I like it when a country that is hosting feels empowered to kind of return to its roots and kind of ease off on the gas a little bit and do something very authentic, but just sending something that they want to send. And I like that. This is a very sweet song and it feels very earnest. And like nice Ernest, not like Ernest Scared Stupid or Ernest Goes to Camp Ernest.
Ah, a very the Jim kind of Varney Ernest song,
that it is
yes.
important to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's nice. This reminds me of, you know, when we were in Tel Aviv and Israel presented Home. And, you know, it's not a completely throwaway junk song, but, you know.
It reminds me a lot of Ojardim, but.
Oh, sure. Sure. Like don't that bring one. That up for Sam.
My heart.
That old wound.
But in a similar way. I mean, not necessarily that I expect the same result, but the makes also just
very chill, very warm, very, nice. Yeah. Like singer songwriter vibes. Not necessarily competitive, but showcasing a local artist.
Yeah.
Can I also note there's an incredible amount of French this year?
Yes,
there is.
Like, well, at the time of recording, we haven't heard France. That's going to be the last song released, but you know damn well what that's going to be in.
It's going to be in Italian, damn it, just like everybody else.
They have done English before.
Luxembourg is in French. Switzerland is in French. The Israeli song has a verse in French. I think there's something else.
Netherlands?
Netherlands.
That's right. They have the Comme Ci Comme Ça taken care of. So like
someone had to pick up the
slack. We had to go back to like when there were language rules to when there was this much French.
I feel like it's a nice contrast to 2022 when there were no songs in French.
Yeah, none.
It's like the pendulum is hardcore swinging in the opposite direction.
Yeah. That's a fun fact, by the way, that there was no French that year.
Yeah.
Because we got Breton from France. And everyone else was like, well, that's your job. I'm not doing it.
I thought you were bringing French.
Oh, no, that was today.
People brought brownies.
Oh, crap. There's no French. All right. Here's another song in French. Theo Evan from Cyprus
It's an ode to Marcel Marceau.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one just dropped a few hours ago America.
Only just.
I've only listened to it the once. Another Euro Club filler. Dance floor filler. Not the song is filler, but the dance floor will be filled. High voice. Again, like interesting, like the range of male vocals this year is more experimental and broader than I think we've seen in recent years, which is cool to see.
I also just have to point out there's only two women in semi one.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Ooh. Dudes rock.
I can't wait for you to be like, and they're both contraltos.
Oh my God, you're absolutely right. How did I not clock that? This is Semi-One's a sausage fest.
I know, right? The big five and the winner, one out of five of those guys is a dude. The other five are
finally
women.
So, opportunity.
Slightly more men this year than women, but I just noticed that Semi-One is like, oh, it's all dudes. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
We've got
Poland, and then the singer from Albania.
Yeah,
that's it.
And despite the name, Mama Gama has no mamas.
Just gamas.
It's all gamas. Yeah. So Italy, Spain, Switzerland are voting in that semi. Two of those are women.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as many as the semi itself. Holy crap.
Wow.
I mean, I'm really confident both those women are going to qualify.
Yeah,
there are more women singing for the United Kingdom than there are represented in semifinal one.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah,
surely this is an anomaly. Surely this tends to be a female dominated kind of contest.
Oh, if anything,
right?
It's the other way around usually. Oh, yeah,
wait. Yeah.
Females definitely win more often. Uh-huh. It's not a huge gap, but there are more female winners than male.
Yeah,
for sure. I feel like this is generally the opposite of what happens.
Topsy-turvy weirdo year.
Oof.
Yeah. God, this year really is like,
it's a weird
wild
year, y'all.
This year is wild. I feel like France's song is going to show up and be so good. Everyone's going to be like, oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Hey, you know, that's fine.
Why was he,
yeah.
That's what you've been waiting for.
That's fine.
Not to discount Cyprus at all, but this is, I don't think there's a lot to say outside of this being sort of what you expect from Cyprus. They sent the prettiest man in the world to sing a danceable song.
And kudos to them for actually sending a Cypriot act this year.
Yes, they did. He is Cypriot.
He is
noted Cypriot named Tom Evan.
Theo.
Theo Evan. Great. It's short for Theophilus or whatever. You know?
Star of the monkey, Theo James.
Actually, it's even more Greek than that. It's actually Evangelos Theodorou.
Wait, really?
Evangelos Theodorou.
Fantastic.
Good. All right. Well, he knows how to market himself to the big crowd. Well, I just wanted to say, there's not a lot to talk about there. Let's just run with the idea of it being a topsy-turvy year and finally cover the country we've been all waiting for. The boys who are going to sweat in your sauna. In a full costume, like they are docents at a museum.
In a full suit.
It's bada bada bastu. It's Kedge from Sweden defeating Mons. It wasn't his contest to lose exactly, but Kai winning. And the entire Scandinavosphere is in an uproar.
uproar or like joyous jubilation, because I feel
it's just
like,
it's that they're it's all boring. Talking about it. They can't stop talking about it. My buddy Tyler and his Finnish wife sent me a message on early Sunday morning our time to let me know what was going on here, and they asked me my opinion, and I was like, man, it's good that you know who to talk to, because they can't stop talking about it. They can't, they love it. To be fair, they live in Åland, which is the Swedish-speaking part of Finland, the islands there in the Baltic. And let me tell you, these guys are from Finland. They are from the mainland, but a region that speaks Swedish, apparently in an accent that Heidi thinks is fun to make fun of. But they are that there's no better time to be a Swedish-speaking Finn. Let me tell you.
You know, this also means
from Finland. Let's say that.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing to predict that there has ever been, unless Luann really surprises us with a song about
a sauna.
It's called "Even More Saunas" from France. So this means that since the 2 years running, the Swedes haven't sent a Swede.
Yeah, so
we're fine with that. It's okay. They send their Swedes everywhere else.
Well,
they've got to import.
That's a good point.
Trade imbalance.
Yeah. Yeah. They tariffed the. Anyway.
It'll be Denmark's turn next year.
Yeah. So.
I just linguistically, it's the country's first song to be sung in Swedish.
Yeah.
Since 1998, even though it is a dialect of Swedish. Even though we have had Swedish at the contest before, there was a Swedish speaking Finn representing Finland, back in 2012, Nerja Blundar by Pernilla Carlson. But it looks like, according to Wikipedia here, because language restriction rules have kind of come and gone, this is going to be Sweden's first Swedish language entry in an edition without a language restriction since 1963.
I was going to say, since the 70s at least.
Yeah, this is the first time they've had the option. Yeah, Swedish was just an option, and they took it. Yeah, Ewan Spence, good friend of the show, put up a good article about... there have been a couple of good articles on ESC Insight, actually, about this. One was Ewan talking about how everyone's being dicks about this, and that's not great. Like, Mons put a lot of his own money into this. You know, he put the work in. Some people... I mean, I understand that there was frustration, sort of, with Loreen coming back and winning so easily, and this really was starting to feel like that. I understand that there's a certain amount of relief that comes with the joy of Kaj winning. That Kaj, like, I understand that, but I think it's gone a bit far in some places. And to Mons's credit, he got in front of the cameras. He talked about how he felt in the moment, and that's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Like I think that's a good thing to do and be out there and own it. But, like, yeah, he was frustrated. Of course he was frustrated. Like, he didn't win. Second article, and then I'll shut up, sorry, that was from our pal Ben Robertson, who talked about that there was a slight change in how the songs were released to, like, Swedish radio and streaming services in relation to when they show up in Melfest. For a long time, basically nothing got put on streaming at all until all of the semis were done, because it was deemed that was the fair way to do it.
Yeah. Or alternately, if a song had been disqualified or knocked out of contention, then it was released.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, if the song was still active, it wasn't available.
Yeah. Now they're just releasing the songs the day before the performances, essentially. That allowed this song, Barabarabastu, to build some more natural hype.
Yeah.
It went to number one in Sweden. I'll note, it was released at precisely the same time as Mons' song, so it's not like one of them had the advantage over the other. They're from the same semi. They lost that semi.
Mm-hmm.
They were second place, and then they won in the final. That's, I believe, never happened before.
Correct.
Which is wild. But yeah, I think... I don't know how much of a, like, serious change of the zeitgeist we're seeing in Sweden, but I think this is really interesting. I think it makes Basel way more interesting, yep, for sure.
This feels like it might have just been Loreen came back, Loreen won. 2 years later, Mons comes back, and people are like, we're not going to do this again.
Yeah, but I mean... If you're just a Swede watching and you want to get number 8, you want to win again, I think trying to send Mons is a perfectly defensible thing to do.
Yeah.
Do they think that way, though? I mean,
I don't know.
Like, no, I have to wonder.
Mons won the jury.
But it was close, though.
It was like 2 points different. But he did win the jury, but then these guys won the televote. Mm-hmm. So the public was more behind a goofy Finnish song about saunas than they were about a returning champion possibly getting the eighth victory.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, they knew going into that Melfest final, if Mons went, he very likely could win this.
I suppose, like, because we're not coming from a country that participates and therefore we don't have national finals of our own, if somebody votes for a song, do they vote for a song because they like it, or they vote for it because they think it gives them the best shot at Eurovision?
I guess because
they like the story of the plucky underdogs.
I think it's different in every country. It's probably different every year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. When I vote in the main contest, when I send my votes, I tend to send multiple votes for a song I like, but I think needs my help. That is just my rationalization. Like I sent multiple votes to Raven.
Voids?
Like from Slovenia, you know, like I
like, thank you, sir.
I'll give a vote to a couple of songs that like I legitimately like, of course, but like I'll give extra ones to a song that needs my help. So I don't doubt that a bunch of people probably were like, you know, here's this song. It's pitted against Mons. Mons certainly doesn't need my help. I'm going to vote here.
There's definitely a feel of rallying behind this for whatever reason. But it did enough.
I don't know if it's more the sign of sort of like a reaction against. That's always what I tend to favor in whenever I have a theory about this, is that this is sort of a reaction against the machine that we on this podcast have torn to shreds too many times to count. But
it's Sweden.
Yeah, it is.
They love the machine.
They certainly do, but there's always going to be the people there who don't want it. You know, there's always something funky that'll get to the top of the charts. Even in the UK, they're like, why don't we put Rage of the Machine at the top of the Christmas number one? You know, it's that sort of sentiment where we're like, oh, this is so cheesy. This is so corny. Why don't we do something that's just kind of a joke? And not to say that these guys are a joke or a prank, but it's like, it's the same sort of like bucking convention, not wanting to be part of this like hyper-conformist pop trend, just sort of like, you know, bringing that chaotic energy to the contest that it kind of needs.
I think, too, something to keep in mind is Melfest is more popular in Sweden than Eurovision is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so when a lot of people who are voting, probably not even going to watch Eurovision.
Well, maybe they will now.
But, I mean, it's interesting to say because, like, after every election in the United States, there's, like, these surveys and analyses and studies and stuff where they like look at trends and figure all this stuff out. I imagine after like a national final, everyone's like, well, that's weird. Moving on. Like they're not
we'll
going
let the podcasters like, figure out what happened.
They'll like set up like a phone to like phone bank people and ask them like, could you tell us why you voted for this person over this person? It'd be an interesting thing to look at. I don't know if any country would ever put up the money to do something like that, but to actually break it down and say, okay, why are people voting for this? What pushed this one over the edge over this other one? In any regard.
Yeah. I mean, it, for me, again, it's just, I get all of that, but it's Sweden. Like, I'm amazed.
Eric, no culture is a monolith.
I suppose not.
Except maybe those boots from Easter Island.
I said last week that I wasn't super. That I wasn't super high on this. That I kind of like the Mons song more. I don't know. I guess I wasn't super high on either of them.
Little
to be
earworm.
Whenever we do the previews, if I come back being like I love this song, don't be shocked.
This is very.
I'm saying right now, I do not. I feel like it's not for me.
If you don't come around on this song, I'll be shocked. If you don't put this in your top five, I'm going to be like, Eric, you betrayed
I don't know about top five.
You're kind.
I find the song exceptionally fun. The only bugbear that I have, and I'm not sure if I'm the only one who hears it or if I'm just going absolutely insane, But the fact that it is very, very easy for me to transpose Barabarabastu with Blanca's solo.
Oh, now you've done it.
So it's Barabarababy. It's a curse, and if I have to live with it, now you do too.
I swear when it comes time to review these songs, we should play a clip of each and just say,
Hey, you know.
We're gonna get him sued.
We'll let you decide.
Yeah. We report, you decide.
Well, if -1 didn't get sued by Franz Ferdinand for that song, what was that song called?
Which one? Sorry?
Which one?
Remember -1 from Cypress?
Oh, yeah. From Somebody Told Me. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds exactly like Somebody Told Me from Franz Ferdinand.
That's the Killers.
Oh, that was the Killers?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, but it sounds exactly like Somebody Told Me, though. Yeah, sure.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
I remember thinking that when I first heard the opening beats of Rhythm Inside, that it was just Royals.
Yeah.
But that sort of minimalist pop was just so big, you know.
It was.
They were riding the same wave, you know. But yeah, no, that -1 was a complete ripoff of the Killers. My God.
Well, they qualified, so people like that, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah, what else we got? We're out of songs. As of recording, there are 2 songs left. We've mentioned them both, Georgia and France.
Le Georgie.
Mm-hmm. Georgia sings a French song, too.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Who knows?
Weirder stuff is happening. It's going to be a Spanish guy.
Stack the deck.
All right.
Yes. So France is coming out on the 15th. Georgia, it's been absolute radio silence from the Georgian broadcaster. I mean, at time of recording, a song would have had to have been submitted to the EBU. The deadline has officially passed, but they're under no obligation to say much of anything. I mean, the CD or the album is going to have to come out eventually with all the, the compilations. So it's not like they can just show up at the contest and not tell anybody, oh, this is what our song is, and like keep it revealed until the semifinal. They can't do that.
They've submitted it, though. To the EBU, right?
I would have assumed
yeah,
so.
As of recording, the deadline was yesterday. So someone has heard it.
So
we don't know.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out eventually, but...
This isn't the first time a country's released the song much after the deadline.
Yeah, I feel like... Azerbaijan 2022 was a couple of days after the final deadline.
Walking Out was super late.
Yeah,
I remember.
And then sometimes
it happens.
And then there's sometimes revamps of songs that come out way later.
Sure, but those have already been there. Fun question to end the episode on: has a country ever been disqualified because they missed the deadline?
Yes.
Has a country ever not gone to the contest because the train has left the station?
Supposedly, the reason that the UK were not at the first contest was because they sent their song in too late. If I'm not mistaken, let me quadruple check this, but I'm pretty sure that is the case.
Ah, what do you want? They were still on song rationing at that point.
Yeah.
They were still eating toast with beans, for Christ's sake.
They were still eating toast
they
in a
still
sandwich.
Are.
I know, right? Why'd they eat like the war is still going on?
Yeah.
I'm a cursory look. I can't find the source for this right now. I'm going to keep looking because it's going to bother me. This might not be a true story, but I remember having heard that there was a year that a nation didn't participate because they missed the deadline. I'm going to have to do some digging and double check that, but I felt like it was an early UK attempt.
Seems like a very San Marino thing to do.
Well,
I've been around that long. I feel like in the 50s, that would be easy to accidentally miss the deadline for some reason.
Yeah.
The package containing the record gets lost in the mail.
Yeah, the horse it was on fell down a ravine. What can you do?
They taped over it because they don't do reruns.
Yeah. They taped over it with an old Doctor Who and then taped over that with...
with another Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Actually got sent to Tito.
God.
Oh, Tito.
Please stop sending songs to kill me.
Sincerely yours. Only other thing we haven't really mentioned is that
Malta has to change the lyrics.
Malta was told you can't do that.
Can't do it. We saw which coming, is, I don't know, you know.
I was hopeful. I was so hopeful.
You know, I think there are many, many reasonable ways out. You say serving camp. I'm serving up. I'm serving. Her name is Conte. I'm serving Conte. She could do that. I'm serving.
I think that would work good. Yeah.
I'm serving, and then just literally point the microphone at the audience because you know that they're gonna. Yeah.
They'll know what to do.
Exactly.
I think they should do just serving crepes. Or something, and just lean into it. Extremely stupid. Yeah, make it more. Yeah. I heard something. I have no thunder behind this, but that they were going to replace the word cunt with like a sound, a noise, such as like Lily Allen's FU.
Well, it's on a downbeat. There's already like a very strong percussion sting there because it's right at the start of the, I don't know, the twerking routine. Yeah.
She could just like moan into the microphone. Serving.
I don't know. Does she need anything more besides doing just, I don't know, doing the drooly face on the yoga ball?
Those yoga balls are better make an appearance.
They're sure better.
Yes. Toss them into the audience at the end. Get some stuff going.
If not, maybe like the stationary bikes that they had at the German national final about 10 years ago.
Oh, yes. Ooh, yes. Triceps, muscle. Oh.
Go flex your muscles.
Uns.
Before we headed out, there was one more thing that I wanted to put out into the universe today. The Eurovision family, and I say that not tongue-in-cheek, but like honestly, we are a oftentimes dysfunctional family. But we lost an absolutely beloved member of our community this past week. Tali Eshkoli, who was an absolute legend behind the scenes at Eurovision, producer from Israel, passed away this week at the age of 60. She was impossible to miss. If you were in the press center or a delegation bubble or watching a national final at any point over the past decade, at least, even beyond, you probably had seen Tali before, a woman with a massive smile and a shock of red hair and a gaggle of people surrounding her. She was always warm and kind and friendly, as she was one of the producers for the contest in 2019 in Tel Aviv. When Luxembourg decided to return to Eurovision last year and they decided to put on a national final, they called Tali and she produced that national final.
And they picked Tali.
They picked,
interesting.
Small, yeah, little coincidence there. Chances are, if you watched Melody Festivalen or any national final and there was an Israeli international jury, chances are pretty good that it was Tali that was delivering those votes. She even produced Miss Universe when that was held back in 2021. Like, she was a force of a woman with an incredible resume. And when news of her passing broke, I have never seen such an outpouring of love and respect and good memories from all corners of the Eurovision community, not just Israel and not just delegation, but I'm talking press, I'm talking artists, I'm talking tech, I'm talking everybody. Tali Eshkoli, toda rabba, may your memory be a blessing.
Well, next week, I guess we'll see if France and Georgia want to play. They can come out to play, or if they're still grounded, or whatever's going on.
We know that France is going to be releasing their song on the 15th. Georgia, what the hell are you doing?
They're just going to surprise us.
Just tell us.
I was
double checking a couple minutes ago to see if it had released while we were recording, because it very well could have, but it doesn't look like it has.
Hey, you know, we broke the Ali Alexander moment.
That's true. Yeah, we did. So that
weirder,
was fun.
Weirder stuff
it was live on the show, and we didn't even break it because we would have just had to send it out right away.
Yeah. Oh, that was a really fun.
That
day.
Was a treat.
That was really fun. So.
Mostly because of the strange and like reaction that I had, just the sheer sort of
yeah, that was great.
Stop was press, great. Guys! Stop press.
For a moment, I really thought something like really bad had happened. but no, it was very good. And then he got no points from the televote.
Yeah, I was going to say hi to. We'll see how it panned out for us.
Well,
Anyway, I think that's it for the week. Eurovision, just, I don't know, stop
listening.
Stop
now.
Having nine songs come out at once. Could you just be, like, chill for once, bruh?
Yeah, just once a week. They start releasing in, like, mid-August. And you just go one at a time.
A not unheard of strategy. All right, Sam, take us out.
All with right, a gun. Yep. Anyway, y'all know where how to reach us. I mentioned all the social medias earlier on. Just email us directly, 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. We will be back with you next week, hopefully with some freaking news out of Georgia. But until then, I've been Samantha.
Yeah, I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now. Don't be mean to him. Be mean to his stupid f***ing song.